Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear brethren, we should follow what St. Paul commands: teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles. Now, it's an amusing thing to imagine. Have you ever taught or admonished anybody in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles? Probably not. One of the first problems is we don't really know much about, well, maybe the psalms, but not the hymns and the spiritual canticles. What are they? And where are they to be found? Now, they're to be found in the Bible and in the liturgy of the church, and often both. And they are a pillar of our Catholic heritage: the psalms, the hymns, the spiritual canticles. First of all, the psalms. They are collected together in one book in the Old Testament, as you know. And being in the Bible, they are the divinely inspired word of God. They are generally attributed to King David, but not all the scholars are convinced, and the Jewish scholars as well as Catholic scholars. And so it's not been defined at all by the church that David is the author. But take it from St. Thomas Aquinas, he thinks David is the author of all the Psalms. Now, there are 150 Psalms, and they form the major part of the divine office, which is the official public prayer of the church, which is recited by clerics, the adopted children of the church, those priests usually, or brothers who have received a tonsure, and also religious, those who have made vows of religion. Now, in the course of a week, in our breviary, we call it the breviary, the book that contains the divine office, in the course of a week, we say all of the 150 Psalms. And then within a day, following the Psalm 116, seven times a day I have given praise to thee. So in a religious house, in a monastery, if they were able to follow the spirit of the liturgy to its full extent, they would gather in the chapel seven times a day to recite Matins and Lauds, and then Prime, and then Terce at 9 o'clock in the morning, Sext at midday, Noon at 3 o'clock, and then maybe 5 o'clock Vespers, and finish off the day with Compline at 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening. So these are the Psalms. They are the backbone of the divine office of the church, the public prayers of the church. Now, the hymns. The hymns were written by the fathers of the church and by great saints of the church, spanning from the 4th century right to the 20th century. The earliest hymns in the liturgy were from St. Hilary of Poitiers and St. Ambrose. St. Ambrose, he wrote the Iam Lucis Orto Sidere, the star of morn to night succeeds. That was the psalm we sing every day at Prime. And then also every day at Compline, the Te Lucis Ante Terminum, before the end of the day, creator of the world we pray, that with wonted favor thou wouldst be our guard and keeper now. And then we have in the early 5th century, late 4th century, St. Nicetas, who gave us the Te Deum. This prayer of rejoicing is over 1,500 years old. Then we have Rabanus Maurus, who died in 856. He gave us the Veni Creator Spiritus. And Herman the Cripple, who died in 1058, gave us the Alma Redemptoris Mater and the Salve Regina, two great Marian hymns. So Salve Regina, we say that every day, the Hail Holy Queen. And so this is a prayer which is 1,000 years old. And if you actually meditate on this prayer, it's of supreme beauty. All of them are. All of them are. St. Thomas Aquinas died 1274. He gave us the Eucharistic hymns, the Lauda Sion, Adore Te Devote, the Sacris Solemnius, the Pange Lingua, Tantum Ergo, Verbum Supernum, and O Salutaris Hostia. All hymns that you know and you can sing if you have the text before you. Now, these are the great Eucharistic hymns of St. Thomas. They were written at the request of Pope Urban, the 4th, on the occasion of the institution of the Feast of Corpus Christi in 1264. So 800 years, almost 800 years ago, 750 years ago. The hymns, one commentary says, the hymns of the angelic doctor. St. Thomas was called the angelic doctor because, well, not because he was angelic, which he was, but he gave the church the most profound treatise on the angels. And so that's why he's called the angelic doctor. So the hymns of the angelic doctor are remarkable for their smoothness and clearness, and for their logical conciseness and dogmatic precision. Read them slowly, and this will all leap out, the dogmatic precision of these hymns. They are pervaded throughout by a spirit of the profoundest piety, so characteristic of the angel of the schools. It's another title of his. The schools were their schools of theology. It is fitting that the great doctor of the church and a great saint should have confined his hymn writing to a single subject, and that the sweetest and profoundest of all subjects, most holy sacrament of the altar. The last author of the hymns, which are part of the liturgy, was Pope Leo XIII, who died in 1903, so it's probably late 19th century it was written. So we've got the Psalms in the Old Testament, and we've got the hymns, which are from the fathers of the church and from various saints. There are probably about 175 of them. And there are probably about, I counted it up, 32 different authors of the different hymns within the liturgy. And spiritual canticles. Now, the spiritual canticles, like the Psalms, are found only in the Bible. Well, and they're used in the liturgy. Their origin is the Bible. So the inspired word of God. And these are hymns. Special hymns. In the Old Testament, I mean, you know some of these. The Canticle of Moses, the Canticle of Tobias, the Canticle of Judith, the Canticle of Daniel, or the Canticle of the Three Children, which is recited today in the Psalms, and the Canticle of Ecclesiasticus, and various others. There's more of them. So these are the canticles in the Old Testament, which you'll find in the Missal too. And then in the New Testament, there are three canticles, which you'll find in the first two chapters of St. Luke. There's the canticle of Zacharias at the baptism of St. John the Baptist. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Then the canticle of Simeon when he had the baby Jesus in his arms. Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen the salvation of thy people. And of course, the greatest of all canticles, with the greatest of all authors, the Blessed Virgin Mary herself. Magnificat, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoiceth in God my Saviour. So these are inspired word of God. We should know these psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles. But how are we to admonish each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles? That's a puzzling one. It's a puzzling one. I thought that my imagination got to work. And so I can imagine in your family, in the household, everybody knew the psalms, the hymns, and the spiritual canticles. So imagine a scenario. For example, little sisters, if you have brothers who are being particularly obnoxious, you could refer to Psalm 21. Fat bulls have besieged me. They have opened their mouths against me as a lion ravening and roaring. Or, for instance, you want to encourage your children to go to Mass during the week, and they're dragging their feet, and they don't want to go. You could trot out Psalm 13. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have become abominable in their ways. There is none that doth good. No, not one. Time to get up in the morning. Instead of shouting at your children to get up, you could recite St. Ambrose, Iam Lucis. The star of morn, tonight succeeds, we therefore meekly pray. May God in all our words and deeds keep us from harm this day. May he in love restrain us still from tones of strife and words of ill, and wrap around and close our eyes to earth's absorbing vanities. Imagine your mother is marching up the stairs. She's furious on the warpath. And then the children, familiar with the psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, might break out in the Dies Irae. That day of wrath, that dreadful day when heaven and earth shall pass away, both David and the Sibyl say, what terror then shall us befall when lo, the judge's steps appall, about to sift the deeds of all. They could perhaps sing it according to Mozart's score. Or feast day, you have a special dessert, special cake. You could sing the Te Deum at the table. Or time to go to bed, Simeon's Nunc Dimittis. Now thou dost miss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the peoples. Lovely. Now, we should be familiar with these things. When you read the Psalms, there's a psalm for every circumstance. Every experience you have, there's at least a verse that expresses something that strikes a chord, resonates with you. And this is part of our culture. This should be our identity. This is a treasure passed down through the centuries. Over 16 centuries, the hymns. And of course, the Psalms and the Canticles, thousands of years. This is who we are. In this godless, vulgar world, we should stand out by a joyful possession of these treasures. They are beautiful in themselves as literature. I mean, the Psalms are among the greatest poems ever written. Well, they are inspired by God, after all. And they're instructive. And they are prayerful. And a great thing to meditate on. Instead of all of the modern moronic melodies, or the saccharine harmonies, or the stultifying rhythms, the beats of popular music. Children, they learn those all the time. You hear them humming them, singing them all of the time. They know all of those, but they know none of the hymns. So we should, my dear brethren, set ourselves to learning, to acquiring the cultural treasure of the church. Bring it to ourselves. It will require a conscious effort to learn hymns one after the other. And the sort of things you should know all by heart, things like the Anima Christi, Soul of Christ, Sanctify Me. And then the hymns to Our Lady. Everyone knows the Salve Regina. But how many of you know the Alma Redemptoris Mater, which we'll soon be singing at the beginning of Advent? And then after that, the Ave Regina Caelorum, which is during Lent. And then the Regina Caeli. Many of you know that. And then other hymns, like the Subtuum Presidium, another hymn to Our Lady. This is really our treasure, which we should prize for ourselves. And then the Magnificat. Everyone knows and knows of it, but should possess it. And then, of course, the Psalms at the Mass, Psalm 42, Judicare me Deus, discerne causam meam. It is one of the disadvantages of not having the dialogue Mass. Not that I would advocate the dialogue Mass, because I think that's a corruption of the liturgy. But one thing I notice whenever I go to a non-English speaking country is that all of the faithful, they know all the responses to the Mass. And we are embarrassed sometimes when there's no server and a member of the faithful is asked to reply to the Mass and they say, I don't know, I don't know. They don't know how to make the responses to the Mass because they've never really learned. So this is something we should do. And of course, this time of November, the De Profundis, Psalm 129, out of the depths I've cried to thee, O Lord, should be possessed by us all. So, my dear brethren, let us make an effort to follow St. Paul's advice. Possess these treasures so that may you use them to teach and sometimes to admonish. And let us ask the Blessed Virgin Mary for that grace to love the treasures of the church, so that one day we may sing with her, my soul doth magnify the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.